November 4th, 1984, Jan Law interviewed by Kay Briegel in his office in Long Beach, California.
A letter, a big, thick report, only loosely assembled and stapled, written by Dennis Allen, Subsidence Control, to Farley, who was an officer in the Navy Yard concerned. And every once in a while, the Navy came up with intense studies or asked for reassurances and histories of what they were experiencing and subsiding. And that would be one of them. Historic. This is the first subsidence due to oil, and therefore, as the first subsidence due to oil, It commands a place of honor, the first known subsidence due to oil, and it resulted, 1926, in a very interesting lawsuit. I don't think this is the time to repeat the why it was such an interesting lawsuit, but it was. Overburden, this is what we are concerned with. Well, the Ranger's Own Flood was inspired by subsidence abatement. This is an example of soil mechanics as applied to oil fields, although superficial loading, but it's still oil and superficial subsidence. Subsidence and repressuring operations, again, Dennis Allen. Caused by subsidence. This is so-called improvement or a change in the art of collar counting. Shipyards, core laboratories, subsidence laboratories, special core tests. Again, they were looking for consolidation.
McNaughton and... DeGallia
and McNaughton.
Yeah. Were they involved in subsidence in Texas, or...?
No, they were involved here. The first group, co-op investigation, was fostered by Elwha Amar, Board of Harbor Commissioners, in which a great many people, Navy, Procter & Gamble, City of Long Beach, etc., many people down there contributed, over 300,000. The second big cooperative effort was the unitization as aided and abetted by the mandatory provisions which I have pointed out. The City of Long Beach hired the DeGallia and McNaughton, who are the most prestigious petroleum engineers in all the United States, maybe in the world, and they are certainly comparable to Mayo or John Hopkins or any other ultimate authority. They sent the Guardian McNaughton sent as many as five men to California, first to learn the business, what was subsidence, what was involved, and two, what were the problems of unitization. Well, unitization requires a terrific compromise between Company A, in this case Long Beach Oil Development, who said their sands were thicker, richer, had more oil, greater potential than their contiguous neighbor, Union Pacific, on Fault Block 4. The committees assigned to establish that Long Beach Oil Development and Mobil had so much oil in place was entitled to such a fraction, be it 40%, 50% of the total. And UP over there, they became loggerheads, and they made and dissolved loggerheaded, if you can say that, committees for 6 years, in which the people, just the committee members, mostly engineers, flat-footedly say, I'm not going to concede, I'm not going to sell my company down the river, and this is what it is. Well, part of that took some head-knocking. It took knowledge of what was involved, and the Guardian McNaughton had the prestige, had the technical knowledge, and a great deal of this head-knocking in order to people to compromise, and compromise said, you believe at the bottom of your heart. I can never do that, can I?
No. That's a quick question in your heart.
I can't sell my company down. I can't. I believe that it's 35%, and I'm not going to take 32%. So they were the great compromise, and the Guardian McNaughton were on the scene for at least 3 or 4 years, very expensive, expediting unitization. And the unitization was necessary to inject, and injection was necessary to prevent subsidence, further subsidence. And therefore, that was the effort. They spent years getting the operators to establish that Union Pacific, have 30%, not 34% or 36%. They were quite active, wrote a lot of letters. They were the inner circle. They knew the Guardian McNaughton knows all the senators and all the top bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. They had a know-how that practically nobody else had. Here's a book called DHS. DHS, that's Dean Sheldon, 11760, on a gray, three-ring, two-inch, called Basic Subsidence. And it is elevations of benchmarks occupied, Orange County, Los Angeles County, the federal government, cities are making making subsidence studies. They were retained by Texaco and Humble, which is now Exxon, at offshore Belmont Shore, that island. Offshore Belmont, because here was Texaco and Humble, now Exxon, two of the absolute biggest, producing oil which could cause subsidence, and they talk about deep pockets. Their liability would be endless and no measure against it. So, they wanted to establish the, on their own basis, the Belmont Shore, Alameda's Bay, elevations, and to attempt to prove, disprove, any causal relationship between what the Belmont offshore island and subsidence, because Alameda's Bay had 2 inches of freeboard, and we can have overtides of as much as 6 inches. And Alameda's Bay Peninsula in particular, and Naples Island, Naples Port, have all suffered minor inundations by reason of the fact that they had such a little at high tide. There's only 2 inches of freeboard, therefore it was sensitive. This study, he was retained by Humble at that time to build a library which would be the, I believe they call it these days, the data bank.
Yes.
I won't. This is, I can tell you, from the bottom of my heart, that is subsidence, but it's no use. No use. Cataloging everything. More of that Navy unique that I always felt sympathetic. Around places where you shuffle papers endlessly, they said, we're not going to shuffle papers, we're going to have one piece of paper. Here is subsidence benchmark, a map of the benchmarks schedule there. Earlier, I gave you a blueprint, an actual blue blueprint, which showed the change in elevation running up and down Anaheim.
Yes.
And this was the letter that, forwarding letter for that material. I think it's a rare document, I really do.
Yeah.
Bearing on subsidence, there's always been earthquake activity, and here is a map compiled by Standard Oil, and it gives the date of all the earthquakes. And you can see, this is the 1933 epicenter. It's either this or this. Mm-hmm. That's the 33 epicenter. I forgot whether that or that. But you can see that running up and down Lakewood, I believe it is.
Yeah. Yeah, Bellflower.
Hmm?
Bellflower.
I don't know why in the world there should be such a concentration, but here is Signal Hill, and here's the Magus, and here's... Wait a minute. Wilmington.
Yeah.
Signal Hill. Seal Beach. Dominguez. Huntington Beach. Anyway, it's an interesting map in that the well what the relationship between any earthquakes or the intensity of earthquakes. The earthquakes do not bunch up where the subsidence bowls have been. Right. I wouldn't mind giving you stuff, but I hate to give you just junk. That was a grandiose thing that I was going to teach soil mechanics to petroleum engineers so they would always know how to measure and evaluate the threat of I gave you earlier on this being an old thermal fax. From the Palmer, Captain U.S. Navy, and you may glean some You want to put that in that box over there.
Okay.
That being the Alameda's bearing.
Good.
This blueprint, sorry to say, would have to have been removed, I'm ashamed of myself, from the big manuscript of Stanford Research. Figure V17. It belongs back in the TAN report binding.
Cool.
I won't look.
Wonderful.
This, to Darrell Neighbors, is a very important affair, and a summary may lead one to it, a true student. There is the $40 million that people talk about, which was stipulated by the state of California to be a reserve against the time that commercial injection stops. And the $40 million is wrapped up in conditions and provisions. And I don't think that this is the ultimate, but to a student, this is the source of the contract provision regarding the city rights to take over injection facilities or control injection practices for these fault blocks. And this is a summary of it, which would lead a student to the real document and would be some clues. So it is important as a guide. This is the network observed by the city of Long Beach, and you need this to identify the subsidence levels and to unscramble them. These are elevation points established and recognizable by number and so on, and is necessary to put the story together. I should look here.
What's all this other stuff?
I gave you early on
yeah.
a paper that was published by American Institute of Mining and Metallurgical Engineers, in which you like the a statistical approach to the interstitial heterogeneity.
Yes.
Well, I tried once again. I wrote another paper.
Yeah.
This paper was never accepted by AIME. I agree, it was really not that good a paper. But I tried. I know that I'd still say the same thing. But I was trying to do, it's quite mathematical. They turned it down with finality, and maybe I more than halfway agree with them that they should have turned it down, and I don't know whether I'd ever study it hard enough to change my mind, so it's an orphan. That's fugitive.
That's an important part of your thinking, isn't it? The
development of your ideas about society? No. No. This is that interstitial heterogeneity, average permeability, unit volume estimate of the oil in place. It is strictly a statistical analysis step further from the interstitial heterogeneity. It's the next step.
Yeah.
And it gets into rather weird mathematics, unusual mathematics, unpleasant, I guess, in mathematics. And I think what I was trying to do has been done by California Research, the Standard Oil of California, have a great big organization of, I don't know, 50, 100, 150 scientists who do various things. I think that they have done what I was trying to do within much formal and more profound, and mine was kind of stumbling around. So I don't think it does anything for posterity. I'm willing to admit that I enjoyed the exercise. And
but now if you don't give it to me, whoever listens to this tape 100 years from now is going to say, what in the world was that?
Should I write on there, did I say? Oh, I agree, not a good paper. I made my speech, didn't I? Not only are things called transient, but they're fugitive. There's fugitive poetry, isn't there?
Yes.
And some of these things here are sure in the world it's fugitive. Analysis of color count data.
Yes.
I don't know. You can hate it. Why did they say certain poetry was future? Oh, it would show up in a little magazine of poetry, and that would be it, and it'd be gone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are all kinds of things that receive it in that sense.
That receive that they're so termed?
Yeah.
Fugitive this, fugitive that?
Documents or information.
This, you're talking librarian language or vocabulary or historians?
I don't know, historians that are interested in people who don't read a lot of documents and who aren't written up in newspapers and things often look for fugitive documents, fugitive sources. Where have I seen the name John Elliott before? John C. Elliott.
Well, John C. Elliott's father was the Democrat leader, politician in California, who was given the honors, if it please. Hughes went to bed president of the United States, and when he woke up, the Democrat, Wilson, had carried California,
yeah.
And the credit for that overwhelmingly was given to John, I believe, C. Elliott Sr., and he was Mr. Democrat. Of which, surprisingly, the Long Beach clock was Mr. Republican. They were the leading state senators at the time of the Wilson triumph over, who did I say? Hughes. Hughes went to bed president and woke up Wilson. Had overwhelmingly taken California and turned the Electoral College, and it was Elliott who was later rewarded in California for his noble service. Now, his son, they have holdings offshore, Huntington Beach, and I have worked for his son, and his son, oil holdings, along with clocks, show up for the time being. I still have some more material, but it is now interspersed. Hold everything.
Yes. Go ahead and read it, and then we'll put it back on.
Here's a whole book of elevations and how to find them. Book of elevations and the recognition of the benchmarks. And it's a frightfully tedious job to recognize a benchmark and then to find it and on the map and to find it here and the description of it. But that is the life of a surface. When I first went to work, I have in front of me a thick gray three-ring binder, which on the, what's this cover called here? What's that called? What's that called?
On spine.
The spine. W-O-100. When I first went to work for the city of Long Beach, they had six strings of tools investigating the shear. Remember I told you about the shear? And they wanted to know which wells were completely cut off and which were damaged. And this is the so-called scout book, or these are the entries. Here's a map which locates the well. Here's an arrow. Mm-hmm. Here's what's known about it, and here's the damage that occurred to it. This became the material. This became the material upon which McCann and Wilkes made their mathematical analysis. It became the material in which we dug bell holes to prevent shearing of oil wells. And so this is a very fundamental recital of the